Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
Sal Capaccio coming up. I was just explaining to Joe the Let's Get Stupid we're going to do a little bit later in the show. How stupid is it?
Pretty dumb.
All right, perfect.
It's pretty dumb.
That's what we're looking for. Sal, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to start with Joe's question, which I love, and I think I have the right answer.
The best to make a career debut in Buffalo, not a Buffalo athlete, but Marvin Harrison Jr.'s debut in Buffalo has us asking the question, like, who's the best to have ever begun their career here? All right, what's your answer?
And I'm glad that you clarified, Joe, because by saying, I first thought, was he meaning like you could say OJ or Bruce, but obviously they played for the teams. I think you meant outside the organizations, right? Outside of Buffalo.
Yep.
Is what you're talking about. And then, so my mind got to a few that I thought of. Let me first say, I mean, the number one overall picks who played here when they were picked, Drew Bledsoe, Jeff George, they had their first games in Buffalo. And I didn't think that quite moved the needle. I actually went back and thought, okay, I know pro, but Khalil Mack in college, his first game in a UB uniform was in Buffalo, but that's college. But I think I have the answer. Are you ready? I don't think anybody can top this one.
Okay.
The answer is Bob McAdoo of the Buffalo Braves. Bob McAdoo is in the Hall of Fame. He's a three-time NBA scoring champ. He was on the NBA's all 75th anniversary team. He made his debut in Buffalo after being the number two overall pick in 1972.
Okay. He played for Buffalo,
Oh, he played
though, right?
for the team, though.
But he did play for Buffalo.
Oh, man. See? He did play for Buffalo. That's right. Okay. So,
yeah,
darn it, I thought I had it.
Otherwise,
so I had it in
I
front of me,
mean.
And I went through all that, and I still screwed it up.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, otherwise... Yeah, I'm getting a lot of OJ and Bruce, too, for this. But, yeah, I was looking for – maybe there's not a good answer, by the way.
Well, I've got
like, – isn't Drew Bledsoe maybe the answer?
That's a pretty good answer. Yeah. I've got two that came to mind, but they're preseason, so they don't count. Right? Like, RG3.
Yeah.
It was his first preseason game was here, and he looked pretty good. And then even last year's preseason, Anthony Richardson, the first time he's wearing a Colts uniform, was here. But
you know what's going to happen this year, Jeremy?
It's going to be Caleb Williams.
It's going to be Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't technically count, but I don't know. On some level, it also might be. The first time that guy's throwing passes in his team's uniform, if he plays Caleb Williams, you get that look with the preseason. So, the other thing about the sale that's tough as a topic, you know, if anybody wants to throw out their answer, but which non-Buffalo athlete made their debut here is the best ever athlete to do it, the first two or three that came in were people remembering it incorrectly.
Like, yeah.
Someone wrote in Peyton Manning. Like, he did not start his career here. And then there was another one.
Someone said, someone tweeted in Donovan McNabb that coming off the bench, his first game was here. And then I looked and, like, I don't even want to. Like, the guy might remember it that way in the week before McNabb played.
Yeah.
So he did not make his debut.
We remember here. Things
maybe
incorrectly
the person
all the time.
With Peyton Manning is confusing with Jeff George because it was Colts,
okay. That
right?
that might be right.
I mean, that's possible,
and I think that could happen. And Jeff George did make his debut here. All right, ready? I got one for you. Here we go. Kenny Pickett.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
we thought
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah,
Joe, you'll have to check this one. There's a not. Okay. Steven writes in. Steven Stamkos was
Steven
his first
Stamkos.
Ever game.
All right, I'll check.
That sounds right.
Oh, really?
That sounds right. His first ever game was here in Buffalo.
All right, 2008. His ninth game.
By the way, as you
looked
that
Buffalo.
Up, ninth Pickett game. Did not make his debut. He made his first start here, but okay. I was just joking.
See, again, this is like, you might out there believe that I went to Stamkos' debut, and like it was his ninth game.
Ninth game, okay.
It was his ninth
Doesn't
game.
Doesn't count. 803-0550 to join us.
His first goal was against the Sabres.
Okay, there you go. Steven, you got that
so
one.
So that's what you were thinking of.
Sal, looking at the schedule, you know, big picture, anything's come out as a surprise to you? I will confess to being very surprised that Bills-Texans is just any old run-of-the-mill 1 o'clock game. I mean, I think if Stephon Diggs is not on the Texans, it's still interesting enough to warrant much more attention than that. But, you know, here we are. They've got five primetime games, and the Texans are not one of them.
Yeah, so I think that is probably the biggest surprise for anybody. Like, you know, you look at it and say, how can you not make that a... To me, actually, I would say it wasn't going to be a primetime game. I did my mock. I had it 4:25 national window. That's what's stunning to me. It's not even that. Like you said, it's a run-of-the-mill 1 o'clock game. Now, here's my guess, and I don't know this, because they could have moved the game anywhere in the schedule. But by virtue of where it's placed... The Bills are already getting 3 out of 4 primetime games. So I don't think they were going to give them 4 in a row. So I guess the question would be from the league, do you just move the game somewhere else if you want to make it primetime, which you could do. But for whatever reason, maybe they didn't do that. They had it all set and said, okay, which ones are we using here? Or you could have switched one of those other games to not be primetime, like Baltimore. You know, maybe it comes down to, do we want Baltimore or do we want Houston for the Bills on a night game? Let's take a look at the Houston Texans night schedule, because Mike North did say they whiffed on them last year and they'd be on a lot of primetime a lot. They're on primetime week 2 against the Bears, and then they're not on again until week 9, week 10, and week 11. Three straight weeks for the Houston Texans, actually. They're on primetime. So I agree with you. To me, that is the biggest surprise. There is another surprise, which is an oddity. It's happened before, though. Not playing the Patriots until week 16 and then getting them 2 out of 3 weeks. I mean, that's just an oddity in the schedule. We've seen that happen before. It's happened with the Bills, actually. Back in 2017, they played the Dolphins, the drought-breaking year, in weeks 16 and 18, I think it is. And they didn't play the Patriots until December that year. It was like the last month of the year was all Patriots-Dolphins, basically, for most of the week. Most of the month, excuse me. So I think those are a couple big surprises for me. Some people are surprised they only got, you know, 4 nighttime games. Is it just 4?
I think it's 5.
It's 5, yeah.
Because we thought it was 4 and then the Baltimore game.
Yeah. That's right, the Baltimore game.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's an early one. That's right. So it is 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, otherwise, I guess the other surprise I'd say is all of those primetime games except for one are done
early.
By October 15th, you know, 14th's the last one, and then you have one more the rest of the season.
Well, I heard you on this a little bit yesterday, too, Sal, when we thought it was 4, because I think when we first put the Baltimore game down, no one had that as a night game, and then it ended up being a night game. But you pointed out the 4:25 window and just how the league might view, like, standalone games versus primetime. Like, the Chiefs game might be the best example of this, because that is... maybe, like, for schedule makers, the biggest matchup of the last 5 years that happens every single year. And 4:25 against Sal, like, Bills-Chiefs has only been a night game one time in the last, I think it's 2021 in the regular season. That was the only time it was a night game. So, like, right there might be your proof that, like, the Bills have a bunch of 4:25 games where there's probably, they're either going to be the only show in town or there'll be, like, one other Denver game happening at the same time.
Yeah, two big points on this. Thanks, Joe. And I'll just point to what Mike North said on this. I learned a lot this year listening to him and talking with him on the podcast we did. Number one, you're right. The league views primetime differently now. The notion, the definition of primetime has evolved. No longer is primetime the traditional just you play a night game. The league kind of views primetime now as any standalone game, any national game, even national window game 4:25, not necessarily alone, but they really view those as primetime matchups. Christmas games, Thanksgiving games, those Saturday games that they put on those particular windows, they view those as primetime. So if you look at it from there, The Bills get five night games. Then they get a 425 against Kansas City, a 425 against the Rams, a 425 against the Lions. That's eight now. We're up to eight NFL primetime slots, how they want to term it. The other thing is, for anybody looking at this and saying, okay, well, that means that CBS definitely protected that game. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. He explained it to us, which is when the schedule is made in May, no network protects any game. The league puts the games wherever they want, wherever they feel that they need to go as far as the networks are concerned, okay? Once the games start, the weeks start, you get to a certain point where flex scheduling begins. Then each network, Fox, CBS, can protect one game from being flex scheduled. So right now, the Bills and Chiefs are in that on that CBS 425. Once we get, like, you know, how many weeks into the season, then CBS can say, you're not moving that game off of our schedule and into Sunday night or Monday night. But as of right now, that is not why the Bills and Chiefs are on CBS. Not because CBS said, we are protecting it and keeping it there. You cannot do that at this time of year.
Well, for flexing then, like, they might not have a game that works for them. Because if the protection rule, knowing what it is, what you just said, like, Bills at Rams is the Fox game of the week. They already announced, like, Brady will be calling that game in December. Bills at Lions after that. Like, what game won't... I'd have to look at the other games that week. Just feels like the games that could get flexed seem like games that teams would want to protect, or networks would want to protect.
The only way it would happen, Joe, is if one of the two teams just became not good. I mean, that could happen, right? I'm sure last year the Jets were in a couple of those windows, but because no Rodgers, the network decided that's no longer our number one. We're going to move that, and you can flex it if you want, or something like that, right? I bet you something like that could happen, but you're right. The way it looks right now, probably not many games there to be flexed. Not if you look at those 425 games, you're probably looking at those getting protected later in the year and not being moved.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, do you have a similar experience where, you know, we've known who they're going to play, how many times they're going to play each team? That's not a mystery. You know that years ahead of time. But putting them in order, you know, maybe it's because the Patriots are two of the last three, that it ends up looking like there are, I think, two gauntlets to run. Both of them start with Dolphins games. Week 2-7, and then they get a couple like the Titans and the Seahawks, and then the Dolphins come again with the Chiefs and the Lions and the Rams and the Niners. There are two stretches where there is almost no let-up over a month and a half stretch.
Yeah, look, I just think that either way you did it, any way you put the schedule together, it was going to have something like this. They have a tough schedule. They're playing the crossover divisions that they're playing are the AFC South, which isn't a gauntlet right there, but then you look at the NFC West, you're going to get San Francisco, you're going to get the Rams, you're going to get Seattle. You know, I mean, you have those teams, and then obviously the division games, Kansas City, but the first place games are the ones that do it too. You know, this year, the first place games matter. There's only three every year, but think about the first place games that they're playing. They're playing the Chiefs, they're playing the Ravens, and they're playing the Lions, right? I mean, those are the three games that the other teams in your division are not playing. So you're going to have even more of a, you know, harder schedule. A lot of times you look at those three games and go, okay, well, we can deal with that. So I think no matter how you did it, Jeremy, it was going to happen that way. But you're right. You start off that gauntlet. And I wrote about this at WGR550.com. To me, getting off to a good start, at least navigating through the first 6 weeks, if they can go 4-2 even, I would say, we might be looking pretty good, right? And going, okay, all right, 4-2, you could deal with it. Wasn't the best, but 4-2 after the first 6 weeks, I don't think is a bad deal for the Bills here. Then you have Tennessee, Seattle, you get back to Miami again, and Indy before you get Kansas City again. I think there's opportunity after those first 6 weeks to try and make some ground, but you got it to me. You know, 3-3 might be a disappointment there in those first, but you got Jacksonville at home. You know, you can still win these games. And then later in the year, the one thing I would say, though, as much as you get Kansas City, San Francisco, you know, the Rams, you get that bye week at week 12. I love that about the schedule. The one thing I think is, from a football competitive standpoint, the Bills getting their bye week in week 12 between Kansas City and San Francisco is a really nice thing for them. Like, I think that's a nice reprieve. They can come off that Kansas City game. However it ends, it's going to be emotional. It's going to be coming off a high of, you know, getting prepared for that. You have a whole week to kind of reset, get back in the right frame of mind, get healthy, play the San Francisco 49ers on another big national staging window, and get healthy for the final six games of the season before getting to the playoffs.
and the Niners do not have a bye right before. We're just checking that to make sure they.
But
are
you know
at
what,
Green
Joe?
Bay. Yeah,
the Niners play both the Chiefs and the Bills coming off their byes.
Okay. So the Chiefs have a bye before they play the Niners. Also, is what
the
you
Chiefs
mean.
Have a bye okay. week 6, then play San Francisco. The Bills have a bye week 12, then play San Francisco.
Do you like Arizona ending up being the opener? Is it weird to you at all? Is it? I mean, it's not an opponent with much history against the Bills, other than the last play they played against the two. How did you feel about Arizona ultimately ending up being the opener?
Do you guys remember the signature play the last time they were here?
The last time they were here?
Arizona was
uh-huh.
here?
I'm at that game.
Uh-huh. Boy, it's not Carson Palmer that starts that game, is it?
It is, I believe. I think it is, yep.
Somebody had a pick six?
Close, not a pick six.
A field goal return.
Yes, Aaron Williams, and not a field goal return. A blocked, a bad snap by the Cardinals. He picked it up and
okay.
ran it back.
Okay, yeah.
That was the I mean, think about how that was crazy. It was a warm day, if I remember, at the stadium. But
yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's the Arizona Cardinals. Who remembers a lot of that kind of stuff? But I do like it, and I do think it's weird. Both. I like it because it's different. I would have preferred to see New England here that week. I thought that was a good start to the season against a division opponent, a new team. But I like Arizona. I think that's kind of different, and it gives opportunity. I mean, the Bills are going to be one of the bigger favorites on the board. I think I've already seen they're like a 7-point maybe favorite. I think maybe only Cincinnati is a bigger favorite right now in the early look-ahead lines. You got to win that game. You come here, you have Arizona at home. You win that game, you go to Miami week 2 on a Thursday night, and we'll see what Miami does against Jacksonville. But, then you have the 11 days to get ready for the Jags. You start off with a win there. It's a nice little, okay, let's go. Maybe you can make some stuff happen here early part of the season. Man, if they lose that game, we are having discussions Monday morning right here, guys, because you can't. You just can't. You got to beat the Cardinals week 1. I like it. I think it's a little different. It's a little weird. Normally, you love having a West Coast team come to the East Coast and play a 1 o'clock game. I would say, though, for the opening game of the season, it's probably not going to impact them as far as their body clocks as much. They're not on a normal NFL kind of schedule at the time as far as a routine. So, yeah, I do like it. And by the way, on the Extra Point Show today, because they are playing the Arizona Cardinals, we're going to catch up. Lorenzo Alexander is going to join us. He's doing media out there in Arizona. And, we'll talk about the schedule with him and the Bills and take a look at the Cardinals as well.
And he probably would have been in that last game.
Yes.
Cardinals here. I don't remember almost anything about that game other than I think Tyrod had a 50-yard run in this game. Mm. And I think that was the nicest weather that I have ever experienced in that stadium. At least that's what I remember. So I guess I could be off a little bit on how nice it was, but I remember it being perfect out. And when it comes to weather, Sal, like December home games can be an annoyance when there are so many of them for Bills fans. And this year, I don't know, it's not really that bad. It's really only two. I know December 1st they have a home game. That's the Sunday night game against San Francisco. But Thanksgiving week, usually the weather's not that bad by that point. We'll see. But I feel like we've had years where it's been worse when it comes to jam-packed yeah. home games at the end of the year.
You know what I remember about that Arizona game real quick, too, by the way? Patrick Peterson had an interception down the right sideline on a throw Tyrod made. He's trying to...
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. He was trying to hit somebody deep. Patrick Peterson, right in front of me. And I was like, holy cow, that was amazing. I don't know, I didn't know how he did it. It's one of those moments when you realize you're on the field with NFL professional athletes who are the best at what they do in the world. And he made this interception, so it was down the right sideline. Go back and watch that game, you'll see. Anyway, Jeremy, you're always somebody, I think about you for this. I think about you because back in the drought, we'd have a lot of discussions about home games in December and what are we doing, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I think, I do, I think about you a lot. And so I want to get your opinion. Here's my opinion. You tell me if you think that if yours aligns with it. I think this is a really good home schedule for the fans.
I do too.
And I'll tell you why. You have 5 home games before Thanksgiving. Only one of them is at night, and that's an early night game in September. And then even your 6th home game is December 1st at night. And that's not, anything could happen December 1st, of course, but it's not super late in the year. And then, yes, you do have cold weather games at the end of the year, but hey, it's the Jets, it's the Patriots, anything could happen. I don't love that, especially around Christmas time in Buffalo. I get it, income, discretionary income, people spending to go to games. I think that's the only thing I don't like, but weather-wise, I think this schedule set up good for fans. The only thing from a professional standpoint I don't like is the final 3 weeks are in cold weather cities, and, I'm not, I'm in LA, I guess, and in a dome in December on the sidelines, and then the final 3 weeks it'll be, you know, Orchard Park, and Foxborough. But anyway, that's my thought. I think it's a good home schedule. I have my wife and son go to games. That's one of the things I look at is night games last year were a challenge, right? Max is 10. I'm like, which game? Does he go to the night game? I don't know. How do you balance that? It's not that you don't have to do that this year.
Yep.
The Jacksonville game, 7:30, that's fine. And then it's 1 o'clock basically at home. I love it.
Yeah, I think there's nice balance to the schedule. There was a year a couple years ago we had three straight December home games.
Yep.
Maybe 2022. So, yeah, it's funny. Like, I got caught up doing the same thing, Sal. Like, there are three December home games, but one of them is December 1st. Like, that's Thanksgiving weekend. So, two very late in the year, the Jets and the Patriots. I think there's pretty good balance. I'm a fan of the schedule. Five Sunday 1 o'clocks. Not just wanting 1 o'clock Sunday games, but if I'm choosing between home and road, I'd rather have Sunday 1 o'clock be at home. That's my easy routine. So, five Sunday 1 o'clocks, a couple of prime times. Like, yeah, I think overall the schedule is pretty fan friendly, and the trips lined up too. I mean, if you wanted to go to Seattle, October is a pretty good time to do that. You avoided holidays if you're looking to avoid holidays. So yeah, I'm pretty pleased with how the Bills schedule ultimately fell.
Okay, a couple nuggets. Let's see what we can do here. All right, number one, Bills are playing at the Jets Monday Night Football, October 14th. That day is a federal holiday. Not everybody's off. I mean, we have to work. I get it. I understand that, but schools are off. Federal employees are off. It's a holiday. The day before that, the Giants play at MetLife, by the way, on Sunday Night Football. It's a weekend of New York City in the middle of October is beautiful, and it's awesome. And if anybody wants to make a trip there, at least for some people, it might be one less day to take off because it is actually a holiday. And oh, by the way, those dates actually line up with the Major League Baseball divisional playoff round. The Yankees could be at home. Maybe the Mets too, I guess. I don't know. But the Yankees could be at home. So that would be cool. Another one. You ready for Sports Thunder, Jeremy?
Yeah, always.
The Sabres play the Devils October 4th and October 5th in Prague. The next day, Bills at 10.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Texans.
Bills Texans is going to be an event.
Sabres and Lindy debut in Prague Friday, and then again on Saturday, and then Bills on Sunday in Texans.
Yeah. Not bad.
At Texans.
All right, Sal. Extra Point Show coming up today. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll probably
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, we'll dig more into that Arizona game. We've got to do a little bit of that today. We've got a guy coming on tomorrow to talk about the Cardinals and their offseason, their expectations. So, we start digging into the matchups. Thank you, Sal.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
Of course, the first versus third place differences. This is, again, something that we knew before the schedule came out. Something about looking at it in order really drives it home to me. The Bills versus the Jets in the different opponents they have, this is something that is always built into, like, wow, there's so much parity in the NFL. How do teams go from worst to first all the time? The answer is they don't play the same schedule. The Bills will play Baltimore, Kansas City, and Detroit. The Jets, same placeholder opponents, Pittsburgh, Denver, Minnesota.
That's a big difference.
Baltimore to Pittsburgh, that's a drop. Kansas City to Denver is an ocean.
Yeah.
And then Detroit to Minnesota, that's Sam Darnold.
That's a big drop.
Another ocean. So, you know, if the Jets are good, if Rodgers can stay healthy and be productive, could they win the division? Well, that's a pretty big built-in advantage. We get a lot of chatter about rest days and coming off bye weeks, and really the imbalance portion of the schedule is maybe the biggest potential factor. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us as we'll take your calls on your thoughts on the Bills' schedule, what road trip you're taking, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, what's the second? If we agree on Seattle's the best road trip of the year, what's second?
Baltimore's not bad. Detroit's not bad. L.A.'s not bad. L.A.'s a good time of year.
L.A., though, you had 3 years in a row now?
Yep.
Of L.A.?
If we're going for how rare the trip is, then, I mean, Detroit was not that long ago. Baltimore will continue to have crossovers.
Honestly, Indy's rare.
Indy is rare.
At this point. Like, they do not go to Indy very often. And it's like twice in the last 12 years or something.
The last time they did, Allen didn't play.
And they scored 5 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is worse, I would say, than scoring 3 points.
And
worse.
Because
you always remember when you score five.
Five is worse than zero.
Yeah, I would agree.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, your calls on the schedule when we get back. 17 revenge games.
This a 31-yard attempt. High snap. Cotton-Zero chasing after the ball. It still loose, and then picked up by Aaron Williams.
Kenny Albert on that call.
Yeah.
The last time the Bills hosted the Arizona Cardinals, an Aaron Williams blocked field goal return for a touchdown.
For some reason, I'm at that game and don't remember that play.
Really?
I don't remember that play. I remember
the Bills being big underdogs and winning.
Yeah. I remember Tyrod with the 50-yard run, because it was a very long run for any quarterback. I remember Carson Palmer throwing a million interceptions in that game.
Yep. So a couple different scheduling notes before we get to 17 revenge games. The 49ers will play four opponents coming off bye weeks, including the Bills. The NFL gives the Panthers no primetime games.
Right. Which I thought, by the way, was like a requirement.
None. 13 teams have four-day turnarounds. Where you play
four-day turnarounds, okay.
A Sunday and then a Thursday?
Yeah.
The Niners open and close Monday Night Football.
Okay.
I also saw, I got the Amazon Prime email about Bills-Dolphins. Like the Prime season kicks off with Bills-Dolphins. Pretty good matchup for week two.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm eager to see is what Amazon does differently this year. You know, what innovations, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Because they're different feeds. It was cool. They did a pretty good job. Netflix gets the Christmas games.
I'm interested to see who is going to do the Netflix games on Christmas. Yep. Like who's going to call them.
Is Al Michaels still doing Amazon?
You know what's interesting? He was not included in, like, their promo announcing Bills Dolphins. But there hasn't been news that he's not. Because that would be massive news in like the broadcasting world if he was retiring or something.
Or being pushed out because it started to go a certain way.
Because he's bored?
It started to go a certain way.
He hasn't sounded excited in 3 years.
Well, maybe he needs better storylines, Joe, like revenge games. Presenting 17 revenge games on the Bills schedule.
And there's enough for everybody?
I've got a revenge game storyline pretty much every single game.
All right.
Some of these might be bigger stretches than others, but play along if you'd like.
I feel like we're probably starting with a stretch, aren't we?
Arizona.
Zay Jones revenge game.
All in the Bills side of it, the Hail Mary revenge game, of course.
Yep.
Week 2, Miami.
Oh, lots of revenge. Lots of revenge. The Dolphins getting destroyed every time they play the Bills in Miami.
That's incorrect. We're looking for, of course, the Jordan Poyer revenge game.
Oh, okay.
And Saran Neal.
He went to Miami?
He did.
I didn't have that.
Jacksonville. A couple big ones.
Gabe, Mitch Morse.
Revenge.
Yep.
Baltimore, week 4 at Baltimore Sunday Night Football.
Almost
future Buffalo Bill, Derrick Henry.
revenge game?
No, that's
we're looking for Deontay Hardy revenge game.
Okay.
Oh, look out.
Yeah.
Look out. Houston. I feel like everybody kind of might know that one.
Robert Woods revenge game. Of course.
Yes.
Obviously.
Jets.
I can't believe that game's not in primetime.
The Jets on Monday Night Football.
Aaron Rodgers revenge game after having his Achilles snapped by a Bills defensive end.
I have it as the Rodgers Achilles revenge game, but also potential for a Tyrod Taylor revenge game.
Oh,
because
baby.
He's Rodgers' backup. Let's Tennessee. Go. This one's a little bit of a stretch, but I went with it.
Okay. This is a stretch. Is there even a former Bill on the Titans?
I didn't identify one too quickly.
There's not one that comes to mind. So the revenge is going to be the Titans getting trounced like 2 years ago on Monday Night Football?
No. The revenge is DeAndre Hopkins' revenge game because he's mad he didn't sign to play with one of his choice quarterbacks. So he's going to be mad about that revenge game.
The revenge is that the Bills wouldn't give him the money he wanted, so now he has to play with Will Levis.
Right.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Although Will Levis might be okay.
Week 8 Seattle revenge game.
Also, Titans, you could go Bills revenge on Nick Folk, who kicked one of the most miserable field goals against the Bills ever.
He kind of kicked two of them.
Yeah.
He made them both.
Seattle. Who's on Seattle? Revenge. When was the last time the Bills even played the Seahawks?
Isn't there a tight end on the...
Revenge for the low point of the drought, which was the Toronto game where the Seahawks won by 1,000 points.
I like
and
that.
And Gangnam Style was played live at halftime. Yeah. It was all horrible.
Correct answer we're looking for is the Tyrell Dodson revenge game.
Okay. In Seattle. See, this is good. I'm finding out where former Bills went.
A little bit. Then little bit. Miami again, of course, Jordan Poyer, Serenial. Indianapolis, this is a little bit of a stretch, but this player is going to be out for blood all year long. The A.D. Mitchell revenge game.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. A.D. Mitchell. Did you see the number he chose and why he chose it?
I saw I don't remember what the number was, but he picked it because it was the number of receivers that went ahead of him.
10.
Yeah.
So A.D. Mitchell is on a revenge tour.
One of them's Keon Coleman.
That's right.
Yeah. So he wants to prove he's better than Keon Coleman.
Kansas City is after that. Of course, that's the MVS Xavier Worthy double revenge game.
And Mike Edwards.
San Francisco Sunday Night Football. This guy actually might want some revenge against the Bills. I feel like he's kind of said some stuff about the Bills since leaving.
What's his face?
John Feliciano.
John Feliciano.
Yeah. It's John Feliciano revenge game. And also Leonard Floyd, who's in San Francisco.
He said something.
He's kind of taking some shots at the Bills from afar.
Yeah.
Then come, of course, the Rams.
That is Von Miller revenge. No.
Tre'Davious White.
Tre'Davious White. And that's late enough in the year where I'd imagine he's going to be playing by then if he doesn't start the year.
Yeah.
Tre'Davious White revenge game. Wow.
Detroit. This is a pretty deep pull. You're never going to get it. This is my favorite
one. See, now I want to get it. Because you said I'm never going to get it, so now I want to get it.
I'll give every single person listening $1 million if you get it.
Is Joik Bell still a running back for the Lions? It's been a while.
I had to go to the coaching staff of the Colts.
Wait a minute. They've got some coaches.
They do. They have coaches.
Okay.
This is breaking news.
I might get this.
Well, then I'm rescinding my $1 million offer.
Calvin Shepard revenge game.
That's correct.
Let's go. I want $1 million.
$1 million.
I just want $1 million. I cheated a little bit because I watched Hard Knocks last year.
Right.
And he was featured.
It was a coach. Former Bills linebacker Calvin Shepard, who they traded in the Jerry Hughes trade,
right,
is now with Detroit.
Yeah. Even though that was probably one of the best trades they ever made.
It was pretty good. New England, the only team left that we have not done the revenge storyline on. Who's got New England's revenge game?
KJ Osborne revenge game because the team, I don't know. He went to UB.
It's another coaching staff.
Coaching staff. Former Bills player or coach?
Yep. Who's in charge of Drake May's career?
Alex Van Pelt?
Yep. AVP.
Alex Van Pelt.
These are your revenge storylines for the Bills this upcoming season.
We did it, all of them.
Yeah. Some stretches.
Arizona. Yeah, we got to Kelvin Shepard.
That's right. Yeah, right. And Tyrell Dodson. And Deontay Hardy. But hey, it is what it is. Arizona, week one. Cardinals have new uniforms this year, don't they?
Didn't they just get new uniforms?
Yeah.
Their last ones they just unveiled a couple years ago looked like Ohio State.
That's right. Maybe it was last year, April of last year.
Yeah, last year. Did they unveil a new helmet or something, though? Maybe
possible.
They didn't. There were so many teams that unveiled new things. I don't think I see anything for the Cardinals,
okay,
though.
Yeah, they got new ones last year, so they'll wear their road whites and look like Ohio State coming to Highmark Stadium.
I like to have them. I think I'm happy with the result of them being the opponent.
Me too. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Howard picks the Bills coming up at the top of the hour, 8:30. I've got a take on all the streaming stuff to give you. Maybe we'll go with that with Howard as well. Schedule release day. It's out there. It's done.
No more puzzle piecing.
No. Most of it was...
It was the perfect amount of leaks yesterday.
I feel like it was...
Steady.
Well,
I thought
you could say perfect amount. I thought it was a lot. I mean, by the time the schedule release show was happening, that Google document that was being shared far and wide had like 240 of the 270 games.
Yeah. That's fine.
There's also the rough math that for all the streaming platforms and everything you need to watch every NFL game, I did the math on this. And you tell me if it's a little bit overblown. We'll get to more of this later, but... It's about $1,000 now to watch every single NFL game for all the streaming services.
For the season.
Someone did it, added it up. Here's $1,000 for all the games.
Yeah.
It's like $3.70 per game.
That, though, is to watch every...
That's right. That's right. Every game.
Did I get lucky or something? Like, I did not spend that much and had access to every game last year. Like, NFL Plus was $100 for the year. And if you have a smart TV and pull up that app, I can just watch every game.
Every game? Peacock, everything?
I think maybe not the primetime games.
Okay.
Maybe not the primetime games. I get Red Zone, though, as a part of that. And then all the 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock games. You're right. I think that would be without primetime, though. But then what? I'm spending $900 on just primetime games? That can't be right, can it?
No.
So I don't know.
All right, well,
it maybe depends how you're doing it.
Dig into your finances. Get us an answer. 803-0550. Howard picks the Bills coming up top of the hour. We'll dig through this schedule, pick through with a fine-tooth comb, and see what it looks like. Two gauntlets. Both start with Miami games. That's how I'm looking at the schedule. If Miami's good, then you know they're a part of the gauntlet. If not, well, then it's not so much of an issue. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. There's a small story about Odell Beckham being hesitant to sign in Miami. Have you seen why?
No.
Because Tua's left-handed. Quote, I was a little hesitant at first because he's a lefty. I think I shied away from lefties. Now I think about it, I've been throwing with Jarvis Landry since I was 15 years old. One of my trainers is left-handed. They said he throws different. They said the accuracy and the spin... They're like, it's not really like he's left-handed. Just watching the film, there's a lot of great things that he's been doing. He did it at Alabama, did it here with the Dolphins. Like I said, I just seen an opportunity when I really watched the film, when I really sat down, I didn't look at destination. I looked at myself in the mirror and a place for me in my career. I've seen a lot of opportunity here. Hesitant because of his left-handed quarterback.
Did he kind of say within that answer, think of him as a righty?
Yes, I think so.
The spin isn't like, it's like he's not a lefty. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks a little strange whenever a lefty's throwing the football to me. For sure.
Sure.
But that's why he was hesitant to sign.
That's why.
It wasn't just money.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
Lefty. Yep.
Jeremy. He's also getting lots of credit for like leadership in the last couple of years. The Baltimore guest I had on Monday was like, he was amazing for Zay Flowers. But you'll never hear that said about Odell Beckham because we've already established him as a diva.
Yeah. Howard's going to pick the Bills coming up after the break. Our first installment. Now the schedule is out. The man, the godfather himself will speak. Yeah. 10-7. What do you think? 10-7? 11-6?
I bet he's going to pick 10-7.
He's not going any higher.
I don't think he's going higher than 10. I think it's more likely he picks 9-8 than 11-6.
Wow. He's too smart for that.
I think he might pick 9-8.
He doesn't want to get the Bills fans' wrath.
The odds list of like most likely selection, like 9-8 is second on the list.
No way. 11-6 is way more likely.
All right, you want to bet?
This is like
you want to bet?
This is like prognosticating whatever. This
prognosticating
schedule.
The prognosticators.
We're picking Howard's picks. Yeah, I'll bet you he does not pick 9-8.
10, it's a push.
11 I win, 10 or 9 you win. Yeah. Deal. All right. Howard picks the Bills next.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.